God, let your spirit hang an apron around our necks, fashioned by our Lord and friend Jesus. Instruct us here in the halls of your kitchen kingdom with recipes, mercy and forgiveness, compassion and redemption. Beloveds, I love this image of faithfulness, of God offering us an apron as a holy garment, and of God teaching us how to cook and bake with the ordinary tools of life, the extraordinary meals of mercy and forgiveness, compassion and redemption, and as Micah would surely add, justice, loving kindness, and humble partnership with the divine. This All Saints Day, in this whole month of stewardship in November, we're going to be paying extra attention to this ritual of communion, to the table to which we are all called exactly as we are, and to all the places in our lives, in community and in the world, we cook up this nourishing feast of God. Let me tell you some stories of where I have seen these recipes come to life among us recently. This past Tuesday, hundreds of faithful Minnesotans got up early on one of the first really cold days of the fall. Among them were our own Reverend Rebecca and Andy and Mary Vanderford. They joined in the praying and singing and marching outside the federal building in which immigrants are detained by ICE here in Minneapolis, and from which hundreds are deported each year. This was far from the first time they gathered. It's a monthly vigil for many. But this time, the faithful protesters were there to demand that either ICE leave the building or the building get a name change. Right now, the building is named the Bishop Henry Whipple Federal Building, so named in honor of the first Episcopal bishop in Minnesota, installed in 1859, who was known for his advocacy on behalf of the Dakota peoples facing mass execution at the hands of the state during the Minnesota-Dakota Wars. Families are torn apart there now, said Daniel Romero, a candidate for ordination in our United Church of Christ, who was the main organizer of the event. Immigrants appear there in tears, often without legal representation. That is not the legacy Bishop Whipple would want to be honored for, said Romero. In addition, the faithful protesters delivered a letter demanding Minnesota become a sanctuary state that doesn't cooperate with the violent and criminalizing federal immigration policies we have federally. To symbolize that safety, that holiness, and that life-affirming freedom of what sanctuary means, Reverend Rebecca and a group of Christian clergy from multiple denominations celebrated communion together, where all were welcome to freely receive. Outside in the cold, they served each other and anyone who wanted to partake. And then they turned to bring communion to the largely Latinx Christian population detained inside, for whom the ritual of communion is also a ritual of sanctuary, of safety, of being a part of the resurrected body of Christ that cannot be contained, cannot be detained or deported. An ICE officer refused them entrance to the building, and of course refused to let any detainees come out to receive communion either. So they blessed the officer and the detainees from outside the building, lifting their hands into the icy sunshine in nonviolent resistance and praise of the source of life who cannot be detained or deported. What does the Lord require of you? To do justice. It was around this time of year last year when we all began to let go of one of our beloveds who has since joined the great cloud of witnesses we call our saints, Kayla Collins. Because her dying process was so intentional, and because Kayla was who she was, she sought faithfulness every breath of her last months. Each time we met, I could feel in her the question, what does God require of me? And sometimes we talked about it. One of the strangest parts of her dying, both for her and for our community, was that our most basic instinct of faithfulness and really humanness to bring each other the communion of food in the midst of suffering was not an option. She wasn't eating. She talked about feeling like a bad host and how confusing it was not to sit over coffee and treats with her beloveds or receive soup from concerned neighbors. So instead, we decided to have a last meal together with her care circle from Lindale. And that would be communion. So at one of our regular Tuesday afternoon check-in meetings of her care circle, we sat in a circle to share the meal Jesus taught us to share. We had grape juice and communion bread. I didn't have any printed out formal words in front of me, and I don't remember exactly what I said. But something like this poured out in prayer. On the night before Jesus died at the hands of those who did not understand him, he sat at a table with his beloveds, his care circle, like we sit here today. Jesus took the bread and said, "This is my tired but well-loved body, broken for you and with you. Each time you eat this ordinary bread together, remember I am still with you, loving you." Then he took the cup of blessing, the cup traditionally reserved for the Holy One to come. But instead of waiting, he said, "This is the cup of blessing, the cup of my overflowing life poured out for you and with you. Each time you drink of this cup, you participate in the promise of my love, of God's love made real here and now among us." And then we passed each other the bread and the cup around the circle, serving each other as we went with loving kindness. And the words were made real. And the tears brimmed in many of our eyes as we sang some hymns. And that was the last Kayla ate. What does the Lord require of you? To love kindness. By now, you probably get where I'm going. Except I couldn't decide on just one story for the last way that Micah says we are to offer our lives to God in the form of walking humbly with the Holy One. And that's because this is a way of life around here at Lindale. We gather around tables most days of the week to plot holy goodness and holy trouble in communities and teams and study groups. And on Sundays, we gather in worship to explicitly learn to walk more humbly and more closely with the divine that lives inside of us, each other, and transcendently far beyond. This month of stewardship, we're focusing on a theme of coming to the table. The table that symbolizes an invitation from God to bring our whole selves to worship and meetings and study and be received by God. The table offers a place to be nourished. I challenge you. Sorry. This is what colds do to your head. The table offers a place to be nourished with the bread of life and the cup of blessing, and in return, offer back to God, from whom all blessings flow, some nourishment. That is the call of discernment for this month, and this is the challenge. As you sit around tables for committee and team meetings, study groups, and friendly catch-up chats over coffee hour, I challenge you to think of those tables around which you are sitting as communion tables. In fact, I challenge you to make sure there is actually something to eat and drink each time you gather, to remind you that this isn't a work meeting, this is church. And I challenge you to read Micah 6:8 alongside our mission statement as you begin each meeting, because they go together intentionally. As our mission statement says, Lyndale United Church of Christ is a growing faith community, deepening our questions and spirituality, aka walking humbly with God, embodying God's healing and love, aka loving kindness, building a more just world here and now, doing justice. As you go about the day-to-day life of being in community here and living your life in the world, striving to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God, I invite you to listen for who God is calling you to be in 2020. Not just at Lyndale, but in your whole life. The world demands much of your time and energy and resources. But what gifts of yours would it be joyful and life-giving for you to offer back to God this coming year? How are you called to nourish God's presence in this community and the world? It's only a part of meditating on that question that I want you to take the time to think about what it means to give financially to Lyndale this year. Last year, we took the faithful leap of increasing our budget so that we could give employees who work 3/4 time or more, that's me and Karn, full healthcare coverage. You met us in the air in a tough stretch of a goal. And I cannot tell you how important that change has been to both me and Karn, and to my family also. It's truly been a life-changing gift. This year, our goal is to sustain that growth in community. In a community as small as ours, that means that we each have a role to play. It means that when we each give what we can give with joy and health, there is enough to nourish our ministry together. And it means that it actually takes what we each can give with joy and health for there to be enough to nourish our ministry together. So for those of you who are able, for those of you who are overflowing in abundance this year, we invite you into the challenge of giving what we're calling a baker's dozen months pledge this year. In other words, add a month to your annual pledge, a 13th month. And if you are able, add more. Because every year there are those of us who need to pull back for all the reasons that life gets challenging financially. And we need to be able to trust that if we need to pull back, somebody else is stepping into their ability to give more fully. On November 24th, after worship, we also invite you to actually come to the table.
Not just metaphorically, as we'll do at the communion table each week this month.
The Thrive fundraising team will host a gratitude feast of sweet and savory pies to celebrate the abundance of gifts from this community we've collected over the month. We invite you to join us at the table and bring a pie if you love to cook or bake, or just receive the gift of pie, if that is what you need this year. In the meantime, beloveds, we pray. God, let your spirit hang an apron around our necks, fashioned by our friend and Lord Jesus. Instruct us here in the halls of your kitchen kingdom with recipes, mercy and forgiveness, compassion and redemption, justice and loving kindness, humility. Leaven our lives till they rise in praise, offered, blessed, and broken for the healing of the nations. Amen.